الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعد، قال المؤلف رحمه الله: باب قول الله تعالى: أيشركون ما لا يخلق شيئا وهم يخلقون ولا يستطيعون لهم نصرا ولا أنفسهم ينصرون. هذه الآية فيها إنكار على المشركين الذين يعبدون غير الله تبارك وتعالى، وهؤلاء المعبودون لا يخلقون شيئا بل هم مخلوقون، ولا يستطيعون أن ينصروا من يعبدهم ولا أن ينصروا أنفسهم أيضا، فقد نفى الله تبارك وتعالى عنهم الربوبية، نفى الله تبارك وتعالى عن هؤلاء المعبودين الربوبية، فالربوبية حق خالص لله، ومن ذلك الخلق والنفع والضر كله بيد الله تبارك وتعالى. فإذا كان الأمر كذلك فالواجب أن يدعى وأن يخضع ويتذلل له هو الله تبارك وتعالى، الذي خلقنا والذي يمدنا والذي يحفظنا وربنا تبارك وتعالى. فكيف بعد ذلك تقرون بأنه تبارك وتعالى الخالق الرازق المدبر النافع الضار، ثم بعد ذلك تتركون عبادته أو تعبدونه وتعبدون معه غيره الذي يستحق العبادة والخضوع والتذلل له؟ هو الذي ينفعك بخلقك وإيجادك وإعدادك وإمدادك، هذا الذي يستحق منك العبادة، فكيف بعد ذلك تذهب وتصرف لغيره شيئا من العبادة وغيره هذا لا ينفعك بشيء، بل هو مخلوق، بل هو يحتاج إلى من ينصره؟ فشخص ضعيف مخلوق ضعيف كهذا كيف تصرف إليه العبادة وكيف تجعله شريكا مع الله، مع عظم الله تبارك وتعالى وجلالته وعظمته، تجعل أمثال هؤلاء الناقصين المخلوقين شركاء لله تبارك وتعالى؟ هذا معنى الآية، وهذا هو المقصود من الباب، نفي الشرك ونفي عبادة غير الله، فالعبادة يجب أن تكون للخالق الرازق المدبر وهو الله تبارك وتعالى وحده. أي نعم، تفضل أحمد.
الله يبارك فيكم شيخ، جزاه الله خيرا. He began with praising Allah and sending the exaltations of Allah and His greetings upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then he said to proceed. The author rahimahullah ta'ala said chapter regarding the statement of Allah, elevated is He, أَيُشْرِكُونَ مَا لَا يَخْلُقُ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. Do they associate with Allah in worship that which creates nothing and they themselves are created? وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ لَهُمْ نَصْرًا وَلَا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَنصُرُونَ. And surely they cannot lend them victory, give them aid, nor even aid themselves. This verse, the Shaykh comments, is a verse of admonishment to the polytheists that worship other than Allah, elevated and blessed is He, that worship besides Allah those who create nothing, but they rather themselves are created. Those who cannot lend them aid or victory, nor can they even lend themselves victory and aid. So herein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified and negated the properties of lordship from these false deities. And the properties of lordship belong solely to Allah Azza wa Jal. They are His sole right, such that Allah is the sole creator and the sole one who can benefit or harm. There is none other than He that can create benefit or harm. This is all in the hand of Allah alone. So if this is the matter, then it is surely incumbent upon a slave to humble himself and submit fully and completely in worship to Allah. For how can you admit that Allah is creator, provider, sustainer, and the one who manages and runs all of the affairs of all of creation, the one whom in his hand is benefit and in his hand is harm, and then you do not worship him after this, or you worship him along with other deities that you be, worship, that you are worshipping. So rather, the only one who has a right to be worshipped, the only one that it is rightful to worship, is the one who benefits you. He's the one that created you, and the one that provided for you, and the one who runs your affairs, and the one who can protect you, and the one who can give you victory and aid. So then how could you, after knowing all of this, dedicate your worship to other than he, to one that cannot benefit you, but rather he himself is created, rather he himself is in need of Allah, for Allah to provide for him and lend him aid and victory. So how could you go to the weak, to those who have nothing, and dedicate your worship to them? This despite the fact that Allah is most majestic, high and great and tremendous. And then you attach as partners to Allah those who are weak, those who are deficient by default, by inherent nature. You make the creation partners to the Creator. Surely this is the meaning of this verse, and this is what is intended by this particular chapter, to abolish the matter of shirk and negate the matter of shirk and the matter of worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is the creator and the provider. Tafadhal Shaykh.
قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى وقوله والذين تدعون من دونه ما يملكون من قطمير وما يستوي الأحياء ولا الأموات إن الله يسمع من يشاء إن الله يسمع من يشاء وما أنت بمسمع من في القبور. هاتان آيتان, الآيتان من سورة فاطر. الأولى قال والذين تدعون من دونه, يعني الذين تعبدون من غيره تبارك وتعالى, ما يملكون من قطمير, أي هؤلاء لا يملكون ولا حتى القطمير. القطمير هي لفافة التي مثل النايلون هكذا, مثل المشمع رقيقة تكون داخل التمرة, أي اللفافة التي تكون على نواة التمر. هذه لدرجة هذه انظروا حقارتها وصغرها وهونها, لا يملكونها. وأنت عندما تعبد شخصا وتتقرب إليه تريد منه ما نفعا, تريد منه أن يعطيك شيئا مما يملك, وهؤلاء لا يملكون حتى هذه, فلماذا تعبدونه ولماذا تتقربون إليهم وهم لا قدرة لهم على ملك مثل هذا الشيء الصغير التافه؟ قال وما يستوي الأحياء ولا الأموات إن الله يسمع من يشاء وما أنت بمسمع من في القبور. لا يستوي الأحياء. أول الآية قال فيها وما يستوي الأعمى, أي عن دين الله الذي بعث الله تبارك وتعالى به نبيه, فهو أعمى عن دين الله. والبصير الذي بصر الله تبارك وتعالى الذي نور الله تبارك وتعالى بصيرته وأبصر النور الذي جاء به نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم فصدق به وآمن. ولا الظلمات والحرور, وما تستوي ظلمات الكفر ونور الإيمان. ولا الظل ولا الحرور, قالوا المقصود بذلك الجنة والنار, لا تستوي الجنة والنار. وما يستوي الأحياء ولا الأموات, يقول وما يستوي الأحياء القلوب, يعني أحياء القلوب الذين أحيا الله قلوبهم بالإيمان بالله وبرسوله, لا يستوون مع أموات القلوب الذين أمات الله قلوبهم بظلمات الكفر والشرك حتى صارت لا تعقل عن الله أمره ولا نهيه ولا تعرف الهدى من الضلال. فهؤلاء لا يستوون، إذ الفرق بينهم كبير وعظيم يدركه كل صاحب بصيرة. ثم قال: إن الله يسمع من يشاء وما أنت بمسمع من في القبور. إن الله يسمع من يشاء، فمن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى هدايته هدي إلى سواء السبيل ووفق، وما أنت بمسمع من في القبور يعني الكفار، ولو حرصت على إسماعهم فلن يسمعوا، كما أن أصحاب القبور الذين في القبور لو كلمتهم لا يسمعوا، كذلك هؤلاء شبههم بالموتى لعدم استفادتهم من دعوة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا كله يدل على أن الذي بيده النفع والضر هو الله سبحانه وتعالى، وهو الذي بيده ملكوت السماوات والأرض، والذي يملك كل شيء. فالواجب أن تكون العبادة له وحده، وأن نخضع ونتذلل له كي يعطينا مما يملك تبارك وتعالى. نعم، تفضل حفظكم
الله. الله يزيد فضلك. شيء جزاه الله خيرا. Continued from the words of the author رحمة الله تعالى عليه, the statement of Allah عز وجل: والذين تدعون من دونه ما يملكون من قطمير. And those that you call upon, meaning worship besides Allah, surely do not own even a qitmir. Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan, he clarified, the word qitmir is a reference to that sheath, that very thin protective covering, or not protective, but rather very thin and semi-transparent covering that is found on the date seed. Once you open a date, you find this very thin sheath that covers the date seed. This is called the qitmir, and they do not even own a qitmir. And the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَحْيَاءُ وَلَا الْأَمْوَاتُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُسْمِعُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. And surely the living and the dead are not equal. Indeed, Allah lets hear whomever He wills, and surely you are not capable of letting hear those who are in the graves. Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan, he clarified from these verses, he said, these ones that you call upon besides Allah, despite the fact that they do not own even a qitmir, even that sheath, despite its insignificance and how unimportant it is and how little it is in price and of no value, despite all of this, they don't even own a single one of those, and yet you want to call upon them besides Allah. Surely when you call upon someone, you call upon them because you want something from them that they are capable of delivering, that they are capable of giving. And those do not even own a qitmir. Then if they have no capability or power over a single qitmir, and they don't even own this thing despite its insignificance, then what reason do you have to call upon them? Rather, call upon the one who owns everything, and that is Allah. And as for the statement of Allah, and surely the living and the dead are not equal, to the end of the verse, Allah Azza wa Jal before that verse mentioned, وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ. And surely the blind is not equal to the seeing. وَلَا الظُّلُمَاتُ وَلَا النُّورُ. Nor are the darknesses equal to the light. وَلَا الظِّلُّ وَالْحَرُورُ. Nor is the shade equal to the heat. And some of the people of knowledge have said this is a reference to paradise and the hellfire, that they are not equal. وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَحْيَاءُ وَلَا الْأَمْوَاتِ. And surely the living are not equal to the dead, meaning the living, those who are alive in their hearts. Their hearts are alive with the faith. And as for the dead, those are the ones who their hearts have died due to kufr and disbelief. Those whom Allah has killed their hearts with the darknesses of disbelief and the darknesses of polytheism. Those who cannot differentiate between guidance and misguidance. Those whose hearts are blind. These are differences between all these things that can immediately be seen very clearly by one who has insight and Allah granted him the ability to see. The differences between them are tremendous. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُسْمِعُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Meaning, indeed Allah lets hear whom He wills. Meaning those whom Allah wants guidance for them, and Allah wants good for them, then Allah Azza wa Jal will allow them to hear and to benefit, to find guidance, and it will find their way to their hearts. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ فِي الْقُبُورِ. And surely you are not capable of making hear those who are in the graves, meaning the disbelievers. Allah Azza wa Jal herein drew an analogy for them, that they are like those who are already in their graves. Just as you can't address the dead and teach them anything, likewise, these disbelievers, you cannot teach them anything. They are beyond being benefited. They are completely as dead. And so, all these verses indicate that all good and all benefit and harm is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that none has the ability to benefit or harm except for Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the one who in His hands is the dominion of the heavens and the earth and everything between them. Everything is owned by Him, so none deserves to be worshipped and called upon except He. So turn to Allah and call upon Him, asking Him such that He will give you from what He owns. Fadal Shaykh.
ثم قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى وفي الصحيح عن أنس قال شج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في أحد وكسرت رباعيته فقال كيف يفلح قوم شجوا نبيهم فنزلت ليس لك من الأمر شيء. هذا الحديث في الصحيح صحيح مسلم وهو عند البخاري معلق. قال شج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني ضرب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ضربة في رأسه ففتح رأسه. قال يوم أحد يعني يوم معركة أحد. في معركة أحد شجه الكفار وكسرت رباعيته وهي سن من أسنانه. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف يفلح قوم شجوا نبيهم, أي أنهم لا فلاح لهم, من يفعل هذا بنبيه لا فلاح له. فأنزل الله تبارك وتعالى ليس لك من الأمر شيء. أي عواقب الأمور بيد الله تبارك وتعالى, وأما أنت فعليك أن تمضي في دعوتك وأن تعمل بما أمرك الله تبارك وتعالى به, وادعو ربك, والأمور في النهاية بيد الله تبارك وتعالى وليست بيدك. الشاهد إذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو النبي وعلى مكانته عند الله تبارك وتعالى ومحبة الله تبارك وتعالى له, الله يقول له ليس لك من الأمر شيء. فما بالك بغيره. فالنفع والضر بيد الله الواحد الأحد، فلا ينفع ولا يضر مع الله أحد. فهذا النبي يقول الله تبارك وتعالى له: ليس لك من الأمر شيء. فمن باب أولى غيره من المخلوقين من الملائكة والأنبياء والأولياء وغيرهم. وإذا كان الأمر كذلك فاجعل عبادتك لله وحده الذي بيده الأمر كله، ولا تصرف منها شيئا لغيره، لأنه لا أحد يستحقها غيره، فهو النافع الضار وهو المعز المذل، وهو الذي يهدي من يشاء ويضل من يشاء، ويعطي ويمنع. فإذا أردت النفع فعليك بالخضوع والتذلل له وحده، ولا تصرف العبادة مع لغيره. نعم، تفضل.
The Sheikh Jazahullah Khairan continued from the words of the author Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, where he said, and in the Sahih, on the authority of Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, شج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم أحد وكسرت رباعيته. The messenger, the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, was injured, meaning injured in his head and on his face, صلى الله عليه وسلم, on the day of Uhud, meaning the battle of Uhud, at the hands of the disbelievers. And his raba'iyah was broken, and the raba'iyah is one of the teeth. So he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, received a blow to his face or to his head that resulted in an injury and in a broken tooth. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, كَيْفَ يُفْلِحُ قَوْمٌ شَجُّ نَبِيَّهُمْ. How can a nation that has struck at and injured the face of their prophet ever succeed? Meaning that there is no success for them. They are an annihilated people. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the verse, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. Surely none of the affair is in your hands. Surely no power is in your hands. So the Shaykh comments regarding this hadith. He says, this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. It is found in Sahih Muslim, and as for Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he mentioned it without a chain of narrations, mu'allaq. And the Shaykh said that the raba'iyya, as mentioned, is one of the teeth of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. Surely none of the affair is in your hand. Meaning all of the affair is in the hand of Allah. Meaning all affairs and their eventualities and their end results are in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And as for you, you continue in your da'wah. You continue in your calling to Allah. Applying that which Allah has commanded you to apply. And you call to Allah Azza wa Jalla. The point of reference herein, the point of proof from this particular verse, is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite his rank with Allah, despite his elevated status, despite for the fact that he is beloved and dear to Allah Azza wa Jal, it is being said to him, surely none of the affair belongs to you. Meaning no harm and no benefit is in your hands, but all of the harm and the benefit is in the hands of the one who is undivided. The one who none can benefit or harm alongside he, Azza wa Jal. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is being said to him, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. Surely none of the affair is in your hand. So obviously, it is more rightful to say this to anyone who is lesser than he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The angels, the prophets, those who are close to Allah from the worshippers and the like, all fall into the same verse, obviously, as they are not in the rank of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if such is the matter, that if he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and everyone beneath him, is not at the rank where some of the affair belongs to them and some of the power is in their hands, then surely no one deserves your worship except Allah alone, without partners. And if you dedicate any of your worship to any besides Allah Azza wa Jal, then you have dedicated it to one who doesn't deserve it, one who hasn't earned it, one who will not benefit you through it. So rather, turn with your worship and dedicate all of it to one who can give, one who can benefit, one who can harm, one who can guide, one who can misguide, one who can give, and one who can withhold and prevent. Dedicate all of your worship to Allah alone, Azza wa Jal. Fadal Shaykh.
ثم قال رحمه الله وفيه عن ابن عمر أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا رفع رأسه من الركوع في الركعة الأخيرة من الفجر اللهم لعن فلانا وفلانا بعدما يقول سمع الله لمن حمده يعني في قنوت الوتر ربنا ولك في قنوت الفجر قال ربنا ولك الحمد فأنزل الله بعدما يقول سمع الله لمن حمد ربنا ولك الحمد يبدأ بالدعاء ويقول اللهم لعن فلانا وفلانا فأنزل الله ليس لك من الأمر شيء وفي رواية يدعو على صفوان بن أمية والسهيل بن عمرو والحارث بن هشام مجموعة من الكفرة في ذاك الوقت فنزلت ليس لك من الأمر شيء يعني الشاهد نفس الشاهد المتقدم ولا يمنع من نزول الآية لأكثر من مناسبة أو يكون هنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد قال هذا كيف يفلح قوم يشج نبيهم ثم دعا بهذا الدعاء اللهم لعن فلانا وفلانا ثم نزلت الآية والله أعلم والمقصود من الحديثين واحد وهو أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد نفع عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يكون له الأمر في الهداية والإضلال وفي النفع والضر وما شابه من الأمور فلذلك فغيره من باب أولى نعم فضلوا
الله يزيد فضلكم جزا الله خيرا he continued from the words of the author رحمه الله تعالى where he said and found in it as well meaning the صحيح of الإمام البخاري on the authority of عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما that he heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying as he raised his head from ruku' in the last rak'ah of the prayer of Fajr. Allahumma la'an fulanan wa fulana. O Allah, curse so-and-so and so-and-so. After saying, Sami'a Allahu liman hamidahu, Rabbana wa laka alhamd. Surely Allah has heard the one who praises him. O our Lord, and surely to you belongs all praise. So after the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم raises his head from ruku' and he makes the dua, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ, he then begins what is known as the qunut, the dua of al-qunut in Fajr. And so he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his qunut, said, O Allah, curse so-and-so and so-and-so. In another narration that the author brought, he called upon Allah, supplicated against Safwan ibn Umayyah, and Suhail ibn Amr, and Al-Harith ibn Hisham. Certain individuals, he named them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by name, from the disbelievers at the time. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ. Surely none of the affair is in your hand. Meaning you cannot guide or misguide, you cannot benefit or harm. And this hadith, the point of reference from it, and the point of proof in it, is the same as the hadith before it. That he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was addressed with this and told, surely the harm and the benefit is not in his hand, and nothing is in his hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather all affairs are in the hands of Allah, alone the Almighty Azza wa Jal. And there is no contradiction here, because a verse can be revealed for more than one reason. So if this hadith says this is the reason for the revelation, and the previous hadith says that the reason for revelation is that, then there is no contradiction between these two. The reason of the revelation can be the combined effect of these two incidents. Or it can be said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was struck by them in the face and he was injured, and then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam proceeded to pray and made this dua, and then this verse was revealed. There is no contradiction herein. And so what he's being told sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he has no power to guide or misguide or power to harm or benefit. All of that is in the hands of Allah alone without partners, Azza wa Jal.
ثم قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى وفيه عن أبي هريرة وفيه يعني في الصحيح قال قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين أنزل الله عليه وأنذر عشيرتك الأقربين قال يا معشر قريش أو كلمة نحوها اشتروا أنفسكم لا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا يا عباس بن عبد المطلب لا أغني عنك من الله لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا يا صفية عمة رسول الله لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا يا فاطمة بنت محمد سليني من مالي ما شئت لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا. هنا أنزل الله تبارك وتعالى وأنذر عشيرتك الأقربين للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وعشيرة الرجل هم بنو أبوه بنو أبيه الأقرب فالأقرب. فلذلك قام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكلم الأقرب إليه من أقاربه فقال يا عباس بن عبد المطلب وهو عمه لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا. انظر من المتكلم وانظر يكلم من المتكلم، النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي له المقام المعروف والمعلوم عند النبي عند الله تبارك وتعالى، وهو يخاطب عمه ويخاطب عمه العباس بن عبد المطلب الذي كان يحبه، ويقول له لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا. هذا الشاهد، إذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يغني شيئا عن عمه وعن عمته وعن بنته فهو لا يغني عن غيرهم شيئا من باب أولى، وإذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يغني عن الناس شيئا فغيره في ذلك أولى. فالواجب أن يكون الخضوع والتذلل والعبادة لمن بيده النفع والضر وهو الله تبارك وتعالى. هذا شاهد الكلام من هذا الحديث. يا صفية عمة رسول الله، وهي صفية بنت عبد المطلب عمته، ويا فاطمة بنت محمد وهي بنته، كلهم هؤلاء أقرب الناس إليه، قال فيهم لا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا. وقال لهم أيضا في بداية كلامه يا معشر قريش اشتروا أنفسكم لا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا. فعمم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقاربه ثم خصص كلهم لا يغني عنهم من الله شيئا، وقال لهم اشتروا أنفسكم. كيف تكون ذلك؟ كيف يكون ذلك؟ يكون بتوحيد الله، بإخلاص العبادة له تبارك وتعالى. هكذا يكون شراء النفس من الله تبارك وتعالى، أن تقدم عملا صالحا في دنياك بتوحيده وإفراده بالعبادة، وأن تتقرب إليه بأنواعها، عندئذ تكون قد اشتريت نفسك من الله تبارك وتعالى. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يغني عنك من الله شيئا. هذا هو المقصود، وهذا الذي أراده المؤلف من سوق الحديث هنا. نعم تفضل.
الله يحسن عليكم شيء جزاه الله خيرا. He continued from the words of the author رحمة الله عليه where he said وفيه and in it meaning الصحيح whether it's Bukhari or Muslim. On the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up when the verse was revealed, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ and warn your close family members, meaning the closest ones followed by those who are next in closeness. He got up sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, يَا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشِ O the people of Quraysh, or a similar word, اشْتَرُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ لَأُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Purchase yourselves, for surely I cannot suffice you anything from Allah. I cannot help you anything from Allah. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to his ashira. And the word ashira, the Shaykh explains, is not just relatives, but rather it is the children of your father, the closest ones, then those who are next in closeness. And so he got up and he spoke to them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He began with those who are from the people of Quraysh. And then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam started specifying. So he said, purchase yourselves, for surely I cannot suffice you anything from Allah. O Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. And this is his uncle. لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا. I cannot help you anything from Allah. يا صفية عمة رسول الله. أو صفية, the aunt of the messenger of Allah. لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا. Surely I cannot help you anything from Allah. ويا فاطمة بنت محمد. I know Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad. Ask me of my money that which you will. I cannot suffice you anything from Allah. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam began with those who are closest in relation. He began with his uncle sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then his aunt, and then he went down to his daughter after addressing the entire people of Quraysh. And he said the same message, and this is the point of proof herein, that he cannot help them or suffice them anything from Allah azza wa jal. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, despite his rank with Allah, look at who is talking here. This is the messenger of Allah with his rank, with his status with Allah and his closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. And who is he speaking to? He's speaking to his uncle. And he's speaking to those who are dearer and nearer, or rather dearest and nearest to him. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his uncle, his aunt and his daughter. And the message to all of them is, لا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا. Surely I cannot suffice any of you anything from Allah. And he said to his daughter, سليني من مالي ما شئتي. O Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, ask me of my money what you will. I cannot suffice you anything from Allah. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam clarified that when it comes to the affair of Allah Azza wa Jal, he cannot help any of them, but rather it is upon them. As he began in this word that he said in his speech, he said, اشتروا أنفسكم, purchase yourselves. This is what is upon you. And as for me, I cannot suffice you anything from Allah Azza wa Jal. So if this is what he's saying to these people, the Shaykh explains, and they are the dearest and the nearest to him, then what think you of other than they, from the general masses of the Muslimin? Surely those are more obviously included in his statement, لا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا, and I cannot suffice you anything from Allah. So it is upon us as it is upon them to purchase ourselves from Allah Azza wa Jal. How do you do this? By submitting to Allah and humbling oneself to Allah and being in abject worship to Allah Azza wa Jal. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified, it is upon you to purchase yourself from Allah through tawheed, through worshipping Allah alone and dedicating all of your worship to Him Azza wa Jal, and trying to draw nearer to Him with all sorts of acts of worship. This is how one purchases their self from Allah Azza wa Jal, by dedicating in this worldly life of yours deeds to Allah Azza wa Jal, such that when you meet Him, you have something that will intercede for you with Allah Azza wa Jal, and will count for you with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. تفضل الشيخ.
طيب, وهذا نكتفي بهذا القدر إن شاء الله, يكون انتهى الباب بهذا. وأنا ما زلت متعب حقيقة, مريض من أيام, ما صلى الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا وإياكم لطاعته.
اللهم آمين. ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يعجل لكم بالشفاء وأن يعظم لكم الأجر شيخنا, ونسأل الله أن يشكر لكم سعيكم هذا.
آمين, جزاكم الله خير, بارك الله فيكم
وإياكم شيخنا. توصلنا بشيء, الله يحفظكم,
سلامتكم, جزاكم الله خير, الله يبارك فيكم,
سلمكم الله شيخ, الله يبارك فيكم, الله يحفظكم. تفضلوا شيخ.
الله يحفظكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته ومغفرة. يا شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. Concluded the class at this point and mentioned that he is still tired since a few days ago. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten with his cure and to reward him tremendously for the time and effort he has given. وصلى الله وسلم على النبي محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خيرا جميعا, والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.